just like she did, and he starts singing me his favorite song. He says it's his favorite song because it's about me. I've lost a lot in my life. Yes, I've seen pain and I've seen strife, but I'll never give up. I'll never let go, because I'll always have my ray of hope. I smile, even though I don't feel good. My daddy keeps singing to me until I close my eyes and fall asleep. Monday, October 29th, 2012, 4:57 p.m. It's the first memory I've had before all of the bad stuff took over. My only memory from before my mother died. I still don't remember what she looked like because the memory was more of a blur, but I remembered how I felt. I loved them. Both of them. My father looks up at me now, his face completely awash in sorrow. I have no sympathy for him whatsoever, because where was my sympathy? I do know that he's in a vulnerable position right now, and if I can use that to my advantage in order to pull the truth from him, then that's what I'm going to do. I stand up, and Holder tries to take my arm, so I look down at him and shake my head. It's okay, I assure him. He nods and reluctantly releases me, allowing me to walk toward my father. When I reach him, I kneel down on the floor in front of him, looking up into eyes full of regret. Being this close to him is causing my body to tense and the anger in my heart to build, but I know I have to do this if I want him to give me the answers I need. He needs to believe I'm sympathizing with him. I was sick, I say calmly. My mother and I, we were in my bed, and you came home from work. She had been up with me all night, and she was tired, so you told her to go get some rest. A tear rolls down my father's cheek, and he nods, but barely. You held me that night, like a father is supposed to hold his daughter. And you sang to me. I remember you used to sing a song to me about your ray of hope. I wipe the tears out of my eyes and keep looking up at him. Before my mother died, before you had to deal with that heartache, you didn't always do those things to me, did you? He shakes his head and touches my face with his hand. No, Hope. I loved you so much. I still do. I loved you and your mother more than life itself, but when she died, the best parts of me died right along with her. I fist my hands, recoiling slightly to the feel of his fingertips on my cheek. I push through, though, and somehow keep myself calm. I'm sorry you had to go through that, I say firmly, and I am sorry for him. I remember how much he loved my mother, and regardless of how he dealt with his grief, I can find it in me to wish he never had to experience her loss. I know you loved her, I remember, but knowing that doesn't make it any easier to find it in my heart to forgive you for what you did. I don't know why whatever is inside of you is so different than what's inside other people, to the point that you would allow yourself to do what you did to me. But despite the things you did to me, I know you love me. And as hard as it is to admit, I once loved you too. I loved all the good parts of you. I stand up and take a step back, still looking into his eyes. I know you aren't all bad. I know that. But if you love me like you say you do, if you loved my mother at all, then you'll do whatever you can to help me heal. You owe me that much. All I want is for you to be honest so I can leave here with some semblance of peace. That's all I'm here for, okay? I just want peace. He's sobbing now, nodding his head into his hands. I walk back to the couch, and Holder wraps his arms tightly around me, still kneeling down next to me. Tremors are still racking my body, so I wrap my arms around myself. Holder can feel what this is doing to me, so he slides his fingers down my arm until he finds my pinky, then wraps his around it. It's an extremely small gesture, but he couldn't have done anything more perfect to fill me with the sense of security that I need from him right now. My father sighs heavily, then drops his hands.
When I first started drinking, it was only once. I did something to my little sister, but it was only one time.
He looks back up at me and his eyes are still full of shame.
It was years before I met your mother.
My heart breaks at his brutal honesty, but it breaks even more that he somehow thinks it's okay that it only happened once. I swallow the lump in my throat and continue my questions. What about after me? Have you done it to anyone else since I was taken? His eyes dart back to the floor, and the guilt in his demeanor is like a punch straight to my gut. I gasp, holding back the tears.
Who? How many?
He shakes his head slightly.
There was just one more. I stopped drinking a few years ago and haven't touched anyone since.
He looks back up at me, his eyes desperate and hopeful.
I swear, there were only three, and they were at the lowest points of my life. When I'm sober, I'm able to control my urges. That's why I don't drink anymore.
Who was she? I ask, wanting him to have to face the truth for just a few more minutes before I walk out of his life forever. He nudges his head to the right.
She lived in the house next door. They moved when she was around 10, so I don't know what happened to her. It was years ago, Hope. I haven't done it in years, and that's the truth, I swear.
My heart suddenly weighs 1,000 pounds. The grip around my arm is gone, and I look up to see Holder falling apart right before my eyes. His face contorts into an unbearable amount of agony, and he turns away from me, pulling his hands through his hair.
Les,
he whispers painfully.
Oh, God, no.
He presses his head into the doorframe, tightly gripping the back of his neck with both hands. I immediately stand and walk to him, placing my hands on his shoulders, fearing that he's about to explode. He begins to shake, and he's crying, not even making a sound. I don't know what to say or what to do. He just keeps saying no, over and over, shaking his head. My heart is breaking for him, but I have no clue how to help him right now. I understand what he means by thinking everything he says to me is the wrong thing, because there's absolutely nothing I could say to him right now that could help. Instead, I press my head against him, and he turns slightly, cradling me in his arm. The way his chest is heaving, I can feel him trying to keep his anger at bay. His breaths begin to come in sharp spurts as he attempts to calm himself. I grip him tighter, hoping to be able to keep him from unleashing his anger, as much as I want him to. As much as I want him to physically retaliate against my father for what he did to Les and me, I fear that in this moment, Holder is full of too much hate to find it in himself to stop. He releases his hold and brings his hands up to my shoulders, pushing me away from him. The look in his eyes is so dark, it immediately sends me into defense mode. I step between him and my father, not knowing what else I can do to keep him from attacking, but it's as though I'm not even here. When Holder looks at me, he looks straight through me. I can hear my father stand up behind me, and I watch as Holder's eyes follow him. I spin around, prepared to tell my father to get the hell out of the living room, when Holder grips my arm and shoves me out of the way. I trip and fall to the floor, watching in slow motion as my father reaches behind the couch and spins around, holding a gun in his hand, pointing it directly at Holder. I can't speak.
I can't scream. I can't move. I can't even close my eyes. I'm forced to watch. My father pulls his radio to his mouth, holding the gun firmly in his hand with a lifeless expression. He presses the button and never takes his eyes off of Holder while he speaks into it. Officer down at 3522 Oak Street. My eyes immediately dart to Holder, then back to my father. The radio drops from his hands and onto the floor in front of me. I pull myself up, still unable to scream. My father's defeated eyes fall on mine as he slowly turns the gun. I'm so sorry, Princess. The sound explodes, filling the entire room. It's so loud. I squeeze my eyes shut and cover my ears, not sure where the sound is even coming from. It's a high-pitched noise, like a scream. It sounds like a girl screaming. It's me. I'm screaming. I open my eyes and see my father's lifeless body just feet in front of me. Holder's hand clamps over my mouth, and he lifts me up, pulling me out the front door. He's not even trying to carry me. My heels are dragging in the grass, and he's holding onto my mouth with one hand and my waist with his other arm. When we reach the car, he keeps his hand clamped tight, muffling my scream. He's looking around frantically, making sure no one is witnessing whatever chaos this is going on right now. My eyes are wide and I'm shaking my head out of denial, expecting the last minute of my life to just go away if I refuse to believe it. Stop. I need you to stop screaming right now. I nod vigorously, somehow silencing the involuntary sound coming from my mouth. I'm trying to breathe, and I can hear the air being sucked in and out of my nose in quick spurts. My chest is heaving, and when I notice the blood spattered across the side of Holder's face, I try not to scream again. "Do you hear that?" Holder says. "Those are sirens, Sky. They'll be here in less than a minute. I'm removing my hand, and I need you to get in the car and be as calm as you can because we need to get out of here." I nod again, and he removes his hand from my mouth, then shoves me inside the car. He runs around to his side and quickly climbs in, then cranks the car and pulls onto the road. We round the corner just as two police cars turn the corner at the opposite end of the road behind us. We drive away, and I drop my head between my knees, attempting to catch a breath. I don't even think about what just happened. I can't. It didn't happen. It couldn't have. I focus on the fact that this is all a horrible nightmare, and I just breathe. I breathe just to make sure I'm still alive, because this sure as hell doesn't feel like life. Monday, October 29th, 2012, 5:29 p.m. We both move through the hotel room door like zombies. I don't even remember getting from the car into the hotel. When he reaches the bed, Holder sits and removes his shoes. I've only made it a few feet, paused where the entryway meets the room. My hands are at my sides, and my head is tilted. I'm staring at the window across the room. The curtain panels are open, revealing nothing but a gloomy view of the brick building just feet away from the hotel. Just a solid wall of brick, with no visible windows or doors. Just brick. Looking out the window at the brick wall is how I feel when I view my own life. I try to look to the future, but I can't see past this moment. I have no idea what's going to happen, who I'll live with, what will happen to Karen, if I'll report what just happened. I can't even venture a guess. It's nothing but a solid wall between this moment and the next, without so much as a clue sprawled across it in spray paint.
For the past 17 years, my life has been nothing but a brick wall, separating the first few years from the rest. A solid block, separating my life as sky from my life as hope. I've heard about people somehow blocking out traumatic memories, but I always thought that maybe it was more of a choice. I literally, for the past 13 years, have not had a single clue as to who I used to be. I know I was barely 5 when I was taken from that life, but even then I would assume I would have a few memories. I guess the moment I pulled away with Karen, I somehow made a conscious decision at that young of an age to never recall those memories. Once Karen began telling me stories of my adoption, it must have been easier for my mind to grasp the harmless lies than to remember my ugly truth. I know I couldn't explain at the time what my father was doing to me because I wasn't sure. All I knew was that I hated it. When you aren't sure what it is you hate or why you even hate it, it's hard to hold on to the details. You just hold on to the feelings. I know I've never really been all that curious to delve up information about my past. I've never really been that curious to find out who my father was or why he put me up for adoption. Now I know it's because somewhere in my mind, I still harbored hatred and fear for that man, so it was just easier to erect the brick wall and never look back. I still do harbor hatred and fear for him, and he can't even touch me anymore. I still hate him, and I'm still scared to death of him, and I'm still devastated that he's dead. I hate him for instilling awful things in my memory, and somehow making me grieve for him in the midst of all the awful. I don't want to grieve his loss. I want to rejoice in it, but it's just not in me. My jacket is being removed. I look away from the brick wall taunting me from outside the window and turn my head around to see Holder standing behind me. He lays my jacket across a chair, then takes off my blood-spattered shirt. A raw sadness consumes me, realizing I'm genetically linked to the lifeless blood now covering my clothes and face. Holder walks around to my front and reaches down to the button on my jeans and unbuttons them. He's in his boxer shorts. I never even noticed he took off his clothes. My eyes travel up to his face, and he's got specks of blood on his right cheek, the one that was exposed to the cowardliness of my father. His eyes are heavy, keeping them focused on my pants as he slides them down my legs. "I need you to step out of them, babe," he says softly when he reaches my feet. I grasp his shoulders with my hands and take one foot out of my jeans, then the other. I keep my hands on his shoulders and my eyes trained to the blood spattered in his hair. I mechanically reach over and slip my fingers over a strand of his hair, then pull my hand up to inspect it. I slide the blood around between my fingertips, but it's thick. It's thicker than blood should be. That's because it's not only my father's blood that's all over us. I begin wiping my fingers across my stomach, frantically trying to get it off of me, but I'm just smearing it everywhere. My throat closes up and I can't scream. It's like the dreams I've had where something is so terrifying I lose any ability to vocalize sound. Holder looks up and I want to scream and yell and cry, but the only thing I can do is widen my eyes and shake my head and continue to wipe my hands across my body. When he sees me panicking, he stands straight up and lifts me into his arms, then swiftly carries me to the shower. He sets me down at the opposite end of the shower head, then steps in with me and turns the water on. He closes the shower curtain once the water is warm, then he turns to face me and grabs my wrists that are still attempting to wipe the redness away. He pulls me to him and turns us both to where I'm standing under the warm stream of water. When the water splashes me in the eyes,
I gasp and suck in a huge breath of air. He reaches down to the side of the tub and grabs the bar of soap, tearing off the soaked paper packaging. He leans out of the shower and pulls back in, holding a washcloth. My whole body is shaking now, even though the water is warm. He rubs soap and water into the washcloth, then presses it to my cheek. He whispers, staring into my panic-stricken eyes.
I'm getting it off of you, okay?
He begins gently wiping my face, and I squeeze my eyes shut and nod. I keep my eyes closed because I don't want to see the blood-tinted washcloth when he pulls it away from my face. I wrap my arms around myself and remain as still as possible under his hand, aside from the tremors still racking my body. It takes him several minutes of wiping the blood away from my face and arms and stomach. Once he finishes that task, he reaches behind my head and removes my ponytail holder. Look at me, Sky. I open my eyes, and he places his fingers lightly on my shoulder. I'm gonna take off your bra now, okay? I need to wash your hair, and I don't want to get anything on it. Get anything on it. When I realize he's referring to what's more than likely embedded throughout my hair, I begin to panic again and pull the straps of my bra down, then just pull the bra over my head. Get it out, I say quietly and quickly, leaning my head back into the water, attempting to saturate my hair by running my fingers through it under the stream. Just get it off me. My voice is more panicky now. He grabs my wrists again and pulls them away from my hair, then wraps them around his waist. I'll get it. Hold on to me and try to relax. I'll do it. I press my head against his chest and tighten my hold around him. I can smell the shampoo as he pours it into his hands and brings the liquid to my hair, spreading it around with his fingertips. He scoots us a step closer until the water touches my head that is pressed into his shoulder. He massages and scrubs my hair, rinsing it repeatedly. I don't even ask why he keeps rinsing it. I just let him rinse it as many times as he needs to. Once he's finished, he turns us around in the shower until he's under the stream of water, and he runs the shampoo through his own hair. I release my hold from around his waist and back away from him, not wanting to feel like there's anything getting on me again. I look down at my stomach and hands and don't see any traces of my father left on me. I look back up at Holder, and he's scrubbing his face and neck with a fresh washcloth. I stand there watching him calmly wash away what happened to us, no less than an hour ago. When he's finished, he opens his eyes and looks down at me with regret. Sky, I need you to make sure I got it all, okay? I need you to wipe away anything I missed. He's talking to me so calmly, like he's trying not to break me. It's his voice that makes me realize that's exactly what he's trying to avoid. He's afraid I'm about to break or crack or flip out. I'm scared he might be right, so I take the washcloth out of his hands and force myself to be strong and inspect him. There's still a small area of blood over his right ear, so I reach the washcloth up and wipe it away. I pull the washcloth back and look down at the last speck of blood left on the two of us. Then I run it under the stream of water and watch as it washes away. It's all gone, I whisper. I'm not even sure I'm referring to the blood. Holder takes the washcloth out of my hand and tosses it onto the edge of the tub. I look up at him, and his eyes are redder than before, and I can't tell if he's crying, because the water is running down his face in the same pattern that tears would be if they were even there. It's then, when all of the physical remnants of my past are washed away, that I'm reminded of Leslie. My heart breaks all over again, this time for Holder.
A sob breaks out of me, and I slap my hand over my mouth, but my shoulders continue to shake. He pulls me to his chest and presses his lips to my hair.
Holder, I'm so sorry. Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
I'm crying and holding on to him, wishing his hopelessness were as easy to wash away as the blood. He's holding me so tightly I can barely breathe. But he needs this. He needs me to feel his pain right now, just like I need for him to feel mine. I take every single word my father said today and attempt to cry them out of me. I don't want to remember his face. I don't want to remember his voice. I don't want to remember how much I hate him, and I especially don't want to remember how much I loved him. There's nothing like the guilt you feel when there's room in your heart to love evil. Holder moves one of his hands to the back of my head and pulls my face against his shoulder. His cheek presses against the top of my head, and I can hear him crying now. It's quiet, and he's trying so hard to hold it in. He's in so much pain because of what my father did to Leslie, and I can't help but place some of that blame on myself. If I had been around, he never would have touched Leslie, and she never would have suffered. If I never would have climbed into that car with Karen, Leslie might still be alive today. I curl my hands up behind Holder's arms and grip his shoulders. I lift my cheek and turn my mouth toward his neck, kissing him softly.
I'm so sorry. He never would have touched her if I...
Holder grips my arms and pushes me away from him with such force my eyes widen and I flinch when he speaks.
Don't you dare say that.
He releases his hold and swiftly brings his hands to my face, gripping me tightly.
I don't ever want you to apologize for a single thing that man did. Do you hear me? It's not your fault, Sky. Swear to me you will never let a thought like that consume you ever again.
His eyes are desperate and full of tears. I nod.
I swear,
I say weakly. He never looks away, searching my eyes for truth. His reaction has left my heart pounding, shocked at how quick he was to dismiss any fault I may have had. I wish he was just as quick to dismiss his own faults, but he isn't. I can't take the look in his eyes, so I throw my arms around his neck and hug him. He tightens his grip around me and holds me with pained desperation. The truth about Leslie and the reality of what we both just witnessed hits us both, and we cling to each other with everything we have. He's finished trying to be strong for me. The love he had for Leslie and the anger he's feeling over what happened to her are pouring out of him. I know Leslie would need him to feel her heartache, so I don't even try to comfort him with words. We both cry for her now, because she had no one to cry for her then. I kiss the side of his head, my hands gripping his neck. Each time my lips touch him, he holds me just a little bit tighter. His mouth grazes my shoulder, and soon we're both attempting to kiss away every ounce of the heartache that neither one of us deserves. His lips become adamant as he kisses my neck harder and faster, desperately trying to find an escape. He pulls back and looks into my eyes, his shoulders rising and falling with every breath he's struggling to find. In one swift movement, he crashes his lips to mine with an intense urgency, gripping my hair and my back with his trembling hands. He pushes my back against the shower wall as he slides his hands down behind my thighs. I can feel the despair pouring out of him as he lifts me up and wraps my legs around his waist. He wants his pain to go away, and he needs me to help him, just like I needed him last night. I wrap my arms around his neck, pulling him against me, allowing him to consume me for a break from his heartache. I let him because I need a break just as badly as he does right now. I want to forget about everything else. I don't want this to be our life tonight. With his body pressing me into the wall of the shower, he uses his hands to grip the sides of my face, holding me still as our mouths anxiously search the other for any semblance of relief from our reality. I'm grasping his upper back with my arms as his mouth moves frenziedly down my neck. "Tell me this is okay," he says breathlessly against my skin. He lifts his face back to mine, nervously searching my eyes as he speaks. "Tell me it's okay to want to be inside you right now. Because after everything we've been through today, it feels wrong to need you like I do." I grip his hair and pull him closer, covering his mouth with mine, kissing him with such conviction that my words aren't even needed. He groans and separates me from the shower wall, then walks out of the bathroom to the bed, with me still wrapped around him. He's not being gentle at all with the way he rips off the last two items of clothing between us and ravishes my mouth with his, but I honestly don't know if my heart could take gentle right now. He's standing at the edge of the bed, leaning over me, his mouth meshed to mine. He breaks apart momentarily to put on a condom, then he grabs my waist and pulls me to the edge of the bed with him. He lifts my leg behind the knee and brings it up to his side, then slides his hand underneath my arm and grips my shoulder. The moment his eyes fall back to mine, he pushes himself into me without a moment of hesitation. I gasp from the sudden force of him, shocked by the intense pleasure that takes over the momentary flash of pain. I wrap my arms around him and move with him as he grips my leg tighter, then covers my mouth with his. I close my eyes and let my head sink deeper into the mattress, as we use our love to temporarily ease the anguish. His hands move to my waist and he pulls me against him, digging his fingers deeper into my hips with each frantic rhythmic movement against me. I grab hold of his arms and relax my body, allowing him to guide me in whatever way can help him right now. His mouth breaks away, and he opens his eyes at the same time I open mine. His eyes are still fresh with tears, so I let go of him and bring my hands to his face, attempting to soothe his pained features with my touch. He continues looking at me, but he turns his head and kisses the inside of my palm, then drops himself on top of me, stopping suddenly. We're both panting for air, and I can feel him inside of me, still needing me. He keeps his eyes locked with mine as he slides his arms underneath my back and pulls me to him, lifting us both up. We never separate as he turns us around and slides himself down to the floor with his back against the bed, me straddling his lap. He slowly pulls me in for a kiss, a gentle kiss this time. The way he's holding me against him protectively now, trailing kisses along my lips and jaw. It's almost as if he's a different holder than the one I had just 30 seconds ago, yet still wholly passionate. One minute he's frantic and heated, the next minute he's gentle and coaxing. I'm beginning to appreciate and love the unexpectedness in him. I can feel him wanting me to take control now, but I'm nervous. I'm not sure that I even know how. He senses my unease, and he moves his hands to my waist, slowly guiding me, barely moving me on top of him. He's watching me earnestly, making sure I'm still here with him. I am. I'm so completely here with him right now I can think of nothing else. He brings one of his hands to my face, still guiding me with his other hand on my waist. "You know how I feel about you," he says. "You know how much I love you. You know I would do whatever I could to take away your pain, right?" I nod because I do know, and looking into his eyes right now, seeing the raw honesty in them, I know he's felt this way about me long before this moment.
I need that from you so fucking bad right now, Sky. I need to know you love me like that.
Everything about him, from his voice to the look on his face, becomes tortured. I would do whatever it took to take that away from him. I lace our fingers together and cover both of our hearts with our hands, working up the courage to show him how incredibly much I love him. I stare him straight in the eyes as I lift up slightly, then slowly lower myself back down on top of him. He groans heavily, then closes his eyes and leans his head back, letting it fall against the mattress behind him.
"Open your eyes," I whisper. "I want you to watch me."
He raises his head, looking at me through hooded eyes. I continue to slowly take control, wanting nothing more than for him to hear and feel and see just how much he means to me. Being in control is a completely different sensation, but it's a good one. The way he's watching me makes me feel needed, like no one's ever been able to make me feel. In a way, he makes me feel necessary, like my existence alone is necessary for his survival.
"Don't look away again," I say, easing myself up.
When I lower myself back onto him, his head sways slightly from the intensity of the sensation, and a moan escapes my throat, but he keeps his tortured eyes locked firmly on mine. I'm no longer in need of his guidance, and my body becomes a rhythmic reflection of his.
"The first time you kissed me," I say, "that moment when your lips touched mine, you stole a piece of my heart that night." I continue my rhythm as he watches me fervently. "The first time you told me you lived me because you weren't ready to tell me you loved me yet," I press my hand harder against his chest and move myself in closer to him, wanting him to feel every part of me.
"Those words stole another piece of my heart." He opens his hand that I have pressed over my heart until his palm is flat against my skin. I do the same to him. "The night I found out I was Hope, I told you I wanted to be alone in my room. When I woke up and saw you in my bed, I wanted to cry, Holder. I wanted to cry because I needed you there with me so bad. I knew in that moment that I was in love with you. I was in love with the way you loved me. When you wrapped your arms around me and held me, I knew that no matter what happened with my life, you were my home. You stole the biggest piece of my heart that night." I lower my mouth to his and kiss him softly. He closes his eyes and begins to ease his head against the bed again.
"Keep them open,"
I whisper, pulling away from his lips. He opens them, regarding me with an intensity that penetrates straight to my core.
"I want you to keep them open, because I need you to watch me give you the very last piece of my heart."
He releases a vast breath, and it's almost as if I can see the pain literally escaping him. His hands tighten around mine as the look in his eyes instantly changes from an intense hopelessness to a fiery need. He begins moving with me as we hold each other's gaze. The two of us gradually become one, as we silently express with our bodies and our hands and our eyes what our words are unable to convey. We remain in a connected cadence until the very last moment when his eyes grow heavy. He drops his head back, consumed by the shudders that are taking over his release. When his heart rate begins to calm against my palm, and he's able to connect with my eyes again, he pulls his hands from mine and grips the back of my head,
kissing me with an unforgiving passion. He leans forward as he lowers my back to the floor, trading dominance with me, kissing me with abandon. We spend the rest of the night taking turns expressing how we feel without uttering a single word. By the time we finally reach the point of exhaustion, wrapped up in each other's arms, I begin to fall asleep in a wave of disbelief. We have just wholly fallen into each other, heart and soul. I never thought I would ever be able to trust a man enough to share my heart, much less hand it over completely. Monday, October 29th, 2012, 11:35 p.m. Holder isn't next to me when I roll over and feel for him. I sit up on the bed and it's dark outside, so I reach over and turn on the lamp. His shoes aren't where they were when he took them off, so I pull on my clothes and make my way outside to find him. I walk past the courtyard, not spotting him sitting in any of the cabanas. Just as I'm about to turn around and head back, I see him lying on the concrete next to the pool, with his hands locked behind his head, looking up at the stars. He looks so incredibly peaceful right now, so I choose to walk back to one of the cabanas and leave him undisturbed. I curl up into the seat and pull my arms into my sweater, leaning my head back as I watch him. There's a full moon out, so everything about him is illuminated in a soft bask of light, making him appear almost angelic. He's lost in the sky with a look of serenity across his face, making me grateful that he's able to find enough peace within himself to get through today. I know how much Leslie meant to him, and I know what his heart is going through today. I know exactly what he's feeling because our pain is shared now. Whatever he goes through, I feel. Whatever I go through, he feels. It's what happens when two people become one. They no longer only share love. They also share all of the pain, heartache, sorrow, and grief. Despite the calamity that is my life right now, there's a warm sense of comfort surrounding me after being with him tonight. No matter what happens, I know for a fact that Holder will see me through every second of it, maybe even carrying me through at times. He's proven to me that I'll never feel completely hopeless again, so long as he's in my life. "Come lay with me," he says, never taking his eyes off of the sky above him. I smile and ease out of my seat, then walk toward him. When I reach him, he removes his jacket and places it over me as I ease down onto the cold concrete and curl up against his chest. He strokes my hair as we both stare up at the sky, silently regarding the stars. Pieces of a memory begin to flash in my mind, and I close my eyes, actually wanting to recall it this time. It feels like a happy one, and I'll take as many of those as I can get. I hug him tightly and allow myself to fall openly into the memory. 13 years earlier.
"Why don't you have a TV?" I ask her. I've been with her for lots of days now. She's really nice and I like it here, but I miss watching TV. Not as bad as I miss Dean and Leslie, though.
"I don't have a TV because people have become dependent on technology and it makes them lazy," Karen says.
I don't know what she means, but I pretend I do. I really like it at her house, and I don't want to say anything that will make her want to take me back home to my daddy yet. I'm not ready to go back.
"Hope, do you remember a few days ago I told you I had something really important to talk to you about?"
I don't really remember, but I nod my head and pretend I do.
She scoots her chair closer to mine at the table to get closer to me. I want you to pay attention to me, okay? This is very important. I nod my head. I hope she's not telling me she's taking me home now. I'm not ready to go home. I do miss Dean and Leslie, but I really don't want to go back home with my daddy. Do you know what adoption means? She asks. I shake my head because I've never heard of that word. Adoption is when someone loves a child so much that they want them to be their son or daughter, so they adopt them in order to become their mommy or daddy. She takes my hand and squeezes it. I love you so much that I'm going to adopt you so you can be my daughter. I smile at her, but I really don't understand what she means. Are you coming to live with me and my daddy? She shakes her head. No, sweetie. Your daddy loves you very, very much, but he can't take care of you anymore. He needs for me to take care of you now, because he wants to make sure you're happy. So now, instead of living with your daddy, you're going to live with me and I'll get to be your mommy. It feels like I want to cry, but I don't know why. I like Karen a lot, but I love my daddy, too. I like her house, and I like her cooking, and I like my room. I really want to stay here really bad, but I can't smile because my tummy hurts. It started hurting when she said my daddy couldn't take care of me anymore. I wonder if I made him mad? I don't ask if I made him mad, though. I'm scared if she thinks I still want to live with my daddy, that she'll take me back to live with him. I do love him, but I'm too scared to go back and live with him. Are you excited about me adopting you? Do you want to live with me? I do want to live with her, but I feel sad because it took us lots of minutes or hours to drive here. That means we're far away from Dean and Leslie. What about my friends? Will I get to see my friends again? Karen moves her head to the side and smiles at me, then tucks my hair behind my ear. Sweetie, you're gonna make a lot of new friends. I smile back at her, but my tummy hurts. I don't want new friends. I want Dean and Leslie. I miss them. I can feel my eyes burning and I try not to cry. I don't want her to think I'm not happy about her adopting me, because I am. Karen reaches down and hugs me. Sweetie, don't worry. You'll see your friends again someday. But right now we can't go back, so we'll make new friends here, okay? I nod, and she kisses me on top of the head while I look down at the bracelet on my hand. I touch the heart on it with my fingers and hope that Leslie knows where I am. I hope they know I'm okay, because I don't want them to worry about me. There's one more thing, she says. You're gonna love it. Karen leans back in her seat and pulls a piece of paper and a pencil to the spot in front of her. The best part of being adopted is that you get to pick your very own name. Did you know that? I shake my head. I didn't know people got to pick their own names. Before we pick your name, we need to know what names we can't use. We can't use the name you had before, and we can't use nicknames. Do you have any nicknames? Anything your daddy calls you? I nod my head, but I don't say it. What does he call you? I look down at my hands and clear my throat. Princess, I say quietly, but I don't like that nickname. She looks sad when I say that. Well then, we will never call you Princess again, okay? I nod. I'm happy she doesn't like that name either. I want you to tell me some things that make you happy. Beautiful things and things you love. Maybe we can pick you a name from those. I don't even need her to write them down, because there's only one thing I feel that way about. I love the sky, I say, thinking about what Dean told me to remember forever. Sky, she says, smiling. I love that name. I think it's perfect. Now let's think of one more name, because everyone needs two names. What else do you love? I close my eyes and try to think of something else, but I can't.
The sky is the only thing I love that's beautiful and makes me happy when I think about it. I open my eyes back up and look at her. What do you love, Karen? She smiles and puts her chin in her hand, resting her elbow on the table.
I love lots of things. I love pizza the most. Can we call you Sky Pizza?
I giggle and shake my head. That's a silly name.
Okay, let me think, she says. What about teddy bears? Can we call you Teddy Bear Sky?
I laugh and shake my head again. She pulls her chin out of her hand and leans toward me.
Do you want to know what I really love?
Yeah, I say.
I love herbs. Herbs are healing plants, and I love growing them to find ways to help people feel better. Someday I want to own my own herbal business.
Maybe for good luck we could pick out the name of an herb. There are hundreds of them, and some of them are really pretty names. She stands up and walks to the living room and grabs a book, then brings it back to the table. She opens it up and points to one of the pages.
What about time? She says with a wink.
I laugh and shake my head.
How about calendula?
I shake my head again. I can't even say that word. She crinkles up her nose.
Good point. I guess you need to be able to say your own name.
She looks down at the page again and reads a few more out loud, but I don't like them. She turns the page one more time and says,
What about linden?
It's more of a tree than an herb, but its leaves are shaped like a heart. Do you like hearts? I nod.
Linden, I say. I like that name.
She smiles and closes the book, then leans down closer to me.
Well then, Linden Sky Davis it is. And just so you know, you now have the most beautiful name in the world. Let's not think about your old names ever again, okay? Promise me from now on, we'll only think about your beautiful new name and your beautiful new life.
I promise, I say, and I do promise. I don't want to think about my old names or my old room or all the things that my daddy did to me when I was his princess. I love my new name. I love my new room where I don't have to worry if the doorknob is going to turn. I reach up and hug her, and she hugs me back. It makes me smile, because it feels just like the way I thought it would feel every time I wished my mommy was alive to hug me.
Tuesday, October 30th, 2012. 12:10 a.m. I reach my hand up to my face and wipe away a tear. I'm not even sure why my tears are falling right now. The memory wasn't really a sad one. I think it's the fact that it's one of the first moments I ever started to love Karen. Thinking about how much I love her makes me hurt because of what she did. It hurts because I feel like I don't even know her. I feel like there's a side to her that I never even knew existed. That's not what scares me the most, though. What scares me the most is that I'm afraid the only side of her I do know doesn't really exist at all.
Can I ask you something? Holder says, breaking the silence.
I nod against his chest, wiping the last tear from my cheek. He wraps both of his arms around me in an attempt to keep me warm when he feels me shiver against his chest. He rubs my shoulder with his hand and kisses my head.
Do you think you'll be okay, Sky?
It's not an uncommon question. It's a very simple, straightforward question. Yet it's the hardest question I think I've ever had to answer. I shrug.
I don't know, I reply honestly. I want to think I'll be okay, especially knowing Holder will be by my side. But to be honest, I really don't know if I will be.
What scares you?
Everything, I reply quickly. I'm terrified of my past, I'm terrified of the memories that flood my mind every time I close my eyes. I'm terrified of what I saw happen today and how it'll affect me the nights that you aren't there to divert my thoughts. I'm terrified that I don't have the emotional capacity to deal with what may happen to Karen. I'm scared of the thought that I have no idea who she even is anymore. I lift my head off of his chest and look him in the eyes. But do you know what scares me the most? He runs his hand over my hair and keeps his eyes on mine, wanting me to know that he's listening.
What?
He asks, his voice full of genuine concern. I'm scared of how disconnected I feel to Hope. I know we're the same person, but I feel like what happened to her didn't really happen to me. I feel like I abandoned her. Like I left her there, crying against that house, terrified for all of eternity, while I just got into that car and rode away. Now I'm two completely separate people. I'm this little girl, eternally scared to death, but I'm also the girl who abandoned her. I feel so guilty for putting up this wall between both lives, and I'm scared neither of those lives or those girls will ever feel whole again. I bury my head in his chest, knowing I'm more than likely not making any sense. He kisses the top of my head, and I look back up at the sky, wondering if I'll ever be able to feel normal again. It was so much easier not knowing the truth. After my parents divorced, he says, my mother was worried about us, so she put me and Les in therapy. It only lasted for about 6 months, but I remember always being so hard on myself, thinking I was the reason for their divorce. I felt like what I failed to do the day you were taken put a lot of stress on them. I know now that most of what I blamed myself for back then was out of my control, but there was something my therapist did once that sort of helped me. It felt really awkward at the time. But every now and then, I catch myself still doing it in certain situations. He had me visualize myself in the past, and he would have me talk to the younger version of myself and say everything I needed to say. He pulls my face up so that I'm looking at him. I think you should try that. I know it sounds lame, but really, it might help you. I think you need to go back and tell Hope everything you wish you could have told her the day you left her. I rest my chin on his chest. What do you mean? Like I should visualize myself talking to her? Exactly, he says. Just try it. Close your eyes. I close them. I'm not sure what it is I'm doing, but I do it anyway. Are they closed? Yes. I lay my hand over his heart and press the side of my head into his chest. I'm not sure what to do, though. Just envision yourself as you are now. Envision yourself driving up to your father's house and parking across the street, but visualize the house how it was back then. He says, picture it how it was when you were Hope. Can you remember the house being white? I squeeze my eyes shut even harder, vaguely recalling the White House from somewhere deep within my mind. Yes. Good. Now you need to go find her. Talk to her. Tell her how strong she is. Tell her how beautiful she is. Tell her everything she needs to hear from you, Sky. Everything you wish you could have told yourself that day. I clear my mind and go with his suggestion. I envision myself as I am now and what would be happening if I actually drove up to that house. I would more than likely be wearing my sundress, with my hair pulled back into a ponytail since it's so hot. It's almost as if I can feel the sun beating down through the windshield, warming my skin. I make myself step out of my car and walk across the street, even though I'm reluctant to head toward that house. My heart immediately speeds up.
I'm not sure that I want to see her, but I do what Holder suggests and I keep walking forward. As soon as the side of the house is in view, she's there. Hope is sitting in the grass, with her arms folded over her knees. She's crying into them, and it completely shatters my heart. I slowly walk up to her and pause, then tentatively lower myself to the ground, unable to take my eyes off of this fragile little girl. When I'm situated on the grass directly in front of her, she lifts her head from her folded arms and looks up at me. When she does, my soul crumbles because the look in her dark brown eyes is lifeless. There's no happiness there at all. I try to smile at her, though, because I don't want her to see how much her pain is hurting me. I stretch my hand out to her, but stop a few inches before I reach her. Her sad brown eyes drop to my fingers, and she stares at them. My hands are shaking now, and she can see that. Maybe the fact that she can see that I'm also scared helps me gain her trust, because she lifts her head even higher, then unfolds her arms and places her tiny hand in mine. I'm looking down at the hand of my childhood, holding onto the hand of my present, but all I want to do is hold more than just her hand. I want to grab all of her pain and fear, too, and take it from her. Remembering the things Holder said I should tell her, I look down at her and clear my throat, squeezing her hand tightly in mine. Hope. She continues to look at me patiently while I dig deep for the courage to speak to her, to tell her everything she needs to know. Do you know that you're one of the bravest little girls I've ever met? She shakes her head and looks down at the grass.
No, I'm not, she says quietly, convinced in her belief.
I reach out and take her other hand in mine and look her directly in the eyes. Yes, you are. You're incredibly brave. And you're going to make it through this because you have a very strong heart, a heart that is capable of loving so much about life and people in a way you never dreamt a heart could love. And you're beautiful. I press my hand to her heart. In here. Your heart is so beautiful, and someday someone is going to love that heart like it deserves to be loved. She pulls one of her hands back and wipes her eyes with it.
How do you know all that?
I lean forward and wrap my arms around her completely. She returns my embrace by putting her arms around me and letting me hold her. I lean my head down and whisper in her ear. I know, because I've been through exactly what you're going through. I know how bad it hurts your heart that your daddy does this to you, because he did it to me too. I know how much you hate him for it, but I also know how much you love him because he's your daddy. And it's okay, Hope. It's okay to love the good parts of him, because he's not all bad. It's also okay to hate those bad parts of him that make you so sad. It's okay to feel whatever you need to feel. Just promise me that you will never, ever feel guilty. Promise me that you will never blame yourself. It's not your fault. You're just a little girl, and it's not your fault that your life is so much harder than it should be. And as much as you'll want to forget these things ever happened to you, and as much as you'll want to forget this part of your life existed, I need for you to remember. I can feel her arms trembling against me now, and she's quietly crying against my chest. Her tears force the release of my own tears. I want you to remember who you are, despite the bad things that are happening to you. Because those bad things aren't you. They are just things that happen to you. You need to accept that who you are and the things that happen to you are not one and the same. I gently lift her head off of my chest and look into her brown, tearful eyes. Promise me that no matter what, You will never be ashamed of who you are, no matter how bad you want to be. And this might not make sense to you right now, but I want you to promise me that you will never let the things your daddy does to you define and separate you from who you are. Promise me that you will never lose hope. She nods her head as I wipe her tears away with my thumbs.
I promise, she says.
She smiles up at me, and for the first time since seeing her big brown eyes, there's a trace of life in them. I pull her onto my lap, and she wraps her arms around my neck as I hold her and rock her, both of us crying in each other's arms. Hope, I promise that from this point forward, I will never, ever let you go. I'm gonna hold you and carry you with me in my heart forever. You'll never have to be alone again. I'm crying into Hope's hair, but when I open my eyes, I'm crying into Holder's arms. Did you talk to her? He asks.
Yes.
I'm not even trying to choke back the tears.
I told her everything.
Holder begins to sit up, so I move up with him. He turns toward me and takes my face in his hands. No, Sky, you didn't tell her everything. You told you everything. Those things happened to you, not to someone else. They happened to Hope. They happened to Sky. They happened to the best friend that I loved all those years ago, and they happened to the best friend I love who's looking back at me right now. He presses his lips to mine and kisses me, then pulls away. It's not until I look back at him that I notice he's crying with me. You need to be proud of the fact that you survived everything you went through as a child. Don't separate yourself from that life. Embrace it, because I'm so fucking proud of you. Every smile I see on your face just blows me away, because I know the courage and strength it took when you were just a little girl to ensure that part of you remained. And your laugh. My God, Sky. Think about how much courage it took you to laugh again after everything that happened to you. And your heart, he says, shaking his head disbelievingly. How your heart can possibly find a way to love and trust a man again proves that I've fallen in love with the bravest woman I've ever known. I know how much courage it took for you to allow me in after what your father did to you. And I swear I will spend every last breath thanking you for allowing yourself to love me. Thank you so much for loving me. Lyndon, Sky, Hope. He pronounces each of my names slowly, not even attempting to wipe away my tears, because there are too many. I throw my arms around his neck and let him hold me. All 17 years of me. Tuesday, October 30th, 2012, 9:05 a.m. The sun is so bright. It's beaming through the blanket I've pulled over my